Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning knowing that you are here with us, knowing that, Lord, you have a message for us. We pray that you may enable us to receive it as a message from you, that, Lord, it may accomplish what you intend to accomplish in our lives today and tomorrow. We pray that your Holy Spirit may teach us, and that, Father, through it all, you may bring healing to our souls and encouragement to our hearts, and that you may be glorified through it as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to me to Exodus 15. Exodus 15, we are reading from verse 22 to 27. The Israelites are out of Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea. We saw them last Sunday praising the Lord for their deliverance. They had experienced his power and his grace, and his presence was right there with them. And the Lord is leading them through the wilderness. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside, we believe that since the Bible is the word of God, and we are his children, then the Bible is God's word for us. Amen? Amen? You may be seated. It's very important for us to know that the Bible was not written to us, but it was written for us. Okay? It wasn't written to us because there were people there that were receiving that word. We are not the original recipients of the scriptures. I was not there when Jesus was healing the blind and the lepers. I wasn't there when God was making a way through the sea. But the Bible tells us that what was happening there was not only happening to them, it was also happening for us. And every believer should look at the Bible as God's word for him, for her. You have to see it from that personal level. The Israelites are facing a test of their faith. For those of you that are joining us today, let me just remind you that our theme for these messages is God's revelation is our invitation. We believe that anytime God reveals himself, anytime he reveals himself, that revelation is inviting us to be part of what God is doing. When God reveals to you, when he shows you what he is doing, he's not just showing you so that you can feel great about yourself. He is showing you so that you can do something about it. When he revealed himself to Moses, he was inviting Moses to participate in what he had come to do. God said, I have come down to rescue my people. And he told Moses, I am sending you. It wasn't Moses that was rescuing the children of Israel from Egypt. It was God. But he invited Moses to his program. Okay? As a church, we don't have any other mission. The only mission that we have is God's mission. We are in God's program. We are here not to do what we want, but to do what God is already doing, to join God in doing what he is doing. And that should be the attitude of every Christian. Our attitude should be to join God in what he is already doing, because God is doing something. He is saving people. He is reconciling people. He is bringing healing. The Israelites have experienced this. They have crossed the Red Sea. On the other side, they began to praise the Lord, singing and dancing and jumping, acknowledging that what they have experienced is God's doing. Then they walk for 3 days. And for these 3 days, they don't get any water. There is nothing to drink. They are in a semi-desert. They are in a wilderness. And so they are longing for water. And then they see a body of water that raises their hopes. So they rush to it because they are desperate. They want something to drink. They are dehydrated. And then when they get there and they taste the water, it is bitter. They spit it out. It's undrinkable. It's unfit for human consumption. So they begin to complain. They turn to Moses and they ask him, what shall we drink? The Israelites are forgetting that God has power over water. They are forgetting that this God that is leading them understands what they are going through. They are forgetting that this God that rescued them from Egypt is the one that is leading them in the wilderness. So they begin to complain. They are whining to Moses because they know that's how they bring their complaints to God. Now, there is nothing wrong for the Israelites to bring their complaints to God's servant, but their attitude is wrong, because it's as if God is not able to provide for them. They are not turning to God, asking him to do something. They are complaining because they are not getting what they believe they deserve. Instead of crying to God for help, they complain. Their response reveals how immature they are in their faith. They are forgetting God's faithfulness. The pillar of cloud was still there. The pillar of fire was still there to remind them of the presence of God. All they needed was to look up. All they needed was to turn to God and ask Him for help the same way they did when they were in Egypt. When they were enslaved, they remembered the promises of God and they cried out to Him for help, and God heard their cry and He sent Moses to rescue them. And He was there in their presence, in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. In Psalm 106, verse 7, Psalm 106, verse 7, the psalmist reminds us what happened. He says, "When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindness, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea." It is one thing to sing praises to God, and quite another to live out our faith when life becomes bitter. It is one thing to sing praises to God. It's quite another thing to live out that same faith when life becomes bitter, when we find ourselves in difficulties, when we are tempted to think that God has left us, when we forget God's faithfulness. Usually, when people face difficulties, they either rely on God more or they turn away from God completely. It is easier to praise God when everything is going on well. It is difficult to demonstrate the same faith when life becomes bitter. And you know, we live in a culture that longs for instant satisfaction. We are always tempted to think that the grass is greener on the other side. We don't only look for what we want, we demand it. Something tells us that if I get what I don't have, I'm going to be happier. And therefore, we are always looking for something that will make us happy. We are forgetting that true happiness, true joy comes from the Lord. Solomon said that there is no satisfaction under the sun. There is no satisfaction under the sun without the God above the sun. The more you get, the more you want. We will never be satisfied by the things of this world because we were created not to be satisfied by the things of this world. There is something that God has put in our hearts. There is a vacuum that He created us with that only Him can fill it. You can try to fill it with other things. People have tried with drugs and alcohols and other pleasures, but they will always be that vacuum because it is a God-shaped vacuum. And only God can fill it. We complain about the little things in life. We complain about the color of the carpet. I know a church that split because of the color of the carpet. One section wanted green because it reminds them of life. The other one wanted red because it reminds them of the blood of Jesus. Green, red, and the church split. We complain sometimes about how worship is done. People complain even about the brand of cereals. Your wife, your husband brings the type of cereal that you don't like. We complain about our dissatisfaction at work. We allow these little things at times to affect our relationships with one another and with God. But there are also real issues that we complain about. Issues like disappointment in life, misfortune in relationships. Chronic pain. These are issues that reveal the bitter side of our faith. As a Christian, when you are going through a difficulty in your life, you find yourself asking questions, especially when you have a desire to want to serve God, and what you are going through seems to limit your effectiveness. You find yourself complaining, trying to understand, why would the God that I want to serve allow me to go through this bitter side of my faith? Why would the God that had rescued his people, taking them to the promised land, why would he allow them to go through the wilderness? Why would he allow them to go for 3 days without water, yet he could make it rain, yet he could do something about it? We experience the bitter side of our faith when the difficulties we face limit our effectiveness as Christians. And let me repeat that for someone. We experience the bitter side of our faith when the difficulties we face limit our effectiveness in ministry. Let us look at how Moses responds to this. When they complain to Moses, asking, "What are we to drink?" And this is not just a question. These people are chanting out, "What are we to drink? What are we to drink? What are we to drink?" And we are told in verse 25, then Moses cried out to the Lord. Let's take a pause there. Moses cried out to the Lord. We can end this message here. And that will be very good for some of us. This is the same Moses whom, when the Lord appeared to him from a burning bush, he found it difficult to trust. In fact, he did not only find it difficult to trust the Lord, he found it difficult to trust himself. But he has grown in that relationship. He has seen what the Lord has done in Egypt. He saw him parting the Red Sea. He has come to trust him fully. Moses has realized that the only way he can face his difficulties is by facing them with God. The Israelites are not yet there, but Moses is already there. And when they complain to him, he cries out to God. Moses understands that he cannot do anything, but he knows that there is nothing that God cannot do. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. God changed the circumstances. The water became sweet. The bitterness was gone. But again, we are told that he said, the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to test. God is aware of what is going on in his people's lives. He knows where he is taking them. He did not bring them from Egypt to let them die in the desert. God did not save you to bring you to where you are so he can leave you alone. God does not enjoy seeing his people suffer. One of the things I learned here is that in order for our joy in life to be restored, when we are going through difficulties, when we are experiencing this bitter side of our faith, in order for our joy to be restored, we must turn our bitterness to the Lord. We must turn it over to the Lord. We must turn our bitterness over to the Lord. If we don't do that, it's going to affect our relationship. Every pain that we feel, we need to turn it over to the Lord so that we can receive his joy. The other thing I see is that we must trust God to be faithful even in suffering. He said, usually people respond by either turning to God more deeply when they're going through difficulties or turning away from God. For our joy to be restored, we must turn our bitterness over to God, and we must trust God to be faithful even in suffering. Brothers and sisters, the bad news is there will always be a bitter side to our faith. The good news is we have a faithful God. In every bitter side that you face, there will be a faithful God. Moses has learned to rely on God. This is the message that I have for you. When life gets bitter, remember, God is faithful. When life gets bitter, remember, God is faithful. Let this truth sink in. Memorize it if you can. Have a bumper sticker if you need to. Write it somewhere in your bedroom and anywhere else so you can keep reminding yourself that when life turns bitter, God is faithful. You can always turn to Him. You can always cry out to Him. You can always hope on Him. You can always rely on Him. Because He is faithful. The temptation will be to want to turn away from God. It will be to want to think that God has left you alone. The temptation will be to feel that God doesn't care anymore. When life gets deeper, it gets bitter, just remember that God is faithful. Why does God allow us to go through this bitterness, this bitter side of our faith, these difficulties? Now, to tell you the truth, I don't know the exact answer why. Now, there are answers that I see in the scriptures that I'm going to give you. But I can't look at you and say, the reason you are going through this is this. I can't do that unless God makes it clear to me. So you are going to take it depending on how the Lord is putting it to your heart. Number one, I believe God allows us to go through this, to experience this bitter side of our faith, to remind us that He is faithful. He took the children of Egypt, of Israel, to Egypt. He allowed them to stay there, to enjoy life. And then life became difficult for them. They cried out to God, and God fulfilled the promises that He had made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. He allows us to go or to experience the bitter side of our faith to remind us that He is faithful. And when we focus on God's faithfulness, we will realize that God can turn our bitterness into something better. Because it is in the bitterness of our faith that God shapes us to the kind of people He wants us to be. When we realize that He is faithful and focus on His faithfulness, we will realize that He has a way of turning our bitterness into something better. Number two, to show us His mercy and His grace. He allows us to go or to experience the bitter side of faith so that He can show us how merciful He is and how gracious He is. And most people that confess that God is merciful and God is gracious, they have experienced difficulties in life. It is until you find yourself going to hell and then God rescues you that that's when you realize He is a merciful God. Until you realize that your destiny was total, eternal separation from God forever, but God provided a way out for you, that's when you realize He is a gracious God. The Israelites realized that when they were on this other side of the Red Sea, when they saw the Egyptians rushing towards them, and they were frightened, and God opened the sea for them, and they walked through, and on the other side, they had to celebrate and praise Him, because they realized this is a merciful and gracious God. It is until you find yourself in a difficulty and you see the hand of God that you appreciate His mercy and His grace. When we experience God's mercy and grace, our faith is strengthened and our peace is restored. When we experience His mercy and His grace, our faith is strengthened, our peace is restored. Number three, He allows us to experience the bitter side of faith to teach us to rely on Him. Do you know that almost everything that God is allowing in our lives, He's using it to teach us not to rely on ourselves? The temptation is to lean on our own understanding. The training that we go through when we are in the wilderness is meant to teach us to rely fully on God. And I can confess to you that we are not yet there. When we trust that God will come through, even when we don't know how, our hope is renewed. Relying fully on God is trusting Him fully when you are facing a difficulty, not knowing how He is going to come through, but believing that He will in His own way. And as a Christian, every time you see life from that perspective, you will always have hope. You will always be looking forward to something. You will always be expecting God to show up in His own way. One preacher said, he preached a sermon and the title was, "Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God." God does not disappoint. He does not disappoint. When we are experiencing the bitter side of our faith, it may feel like He is disappointing, but that's just because we don't have all the details. It's because we don't know what He's trying to accomplish in our lives, and as we are searching ourselves through, there are many questions that come in, and the enemy also brings thoughts. But when we realize that this is a faithful God, He is faithful even when I cannot see Him, we will find ourselves with a renewed perspective in life. I don't entertain negative people, negative attitudes. Now, it's good to be real, but I don't think God wants us to be hopeless. I'm not a messenger of hopelessness. I'm a messenger of hope. Because we serve, we believe, we have been saved by a powerful God. We have every reason to be hopeful. I don't entertain hopelessness, because it is an attitude that is very contagious. I like maintaining social distance from people with hopeless attitudes. When life gets bitter, remember God is faithful. God's desire is to bless his people. That's his desire. Look at what he says in verse 26. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He's saying, my desire is to see you live a fulfilled life. My desire is not to destroy you. My desire is to build you. My desire is not to confuse you. My desire is to give you peace and joy so that you can enjoy this relationship that we have. That's God's desire. That's the reason he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. We are told in Romans 5 verse 8 that he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. By Jesus Christ dying on the cross, God was showing his love. He was demonstrating to the world that this is how much I love you. It is not his desire that anyone should perish. It is his will. It is his wish. It is his hope that everyone should come to repentance. It is not God's desire that his children should suffer. It is his desire that they should enjoy life with him. But I'm telling you, we are living in a fallen world. We are living in a corrupted world. We are living in a world where we will experience these difficulties. The good thing here is this. Despite all the difficulties that we may experience, those difficulties will not stop God from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish through us. You may be going through a situation that makes you say, God, I would have loved to serve you. I would have loved to do this for you. I would have loved if you could only restore my health. This is what I would do for you. You may have the best wishes in your life for God, but let me remind you, whatever you are going through will not stop God from doing through you what he wants to do. It will not stop him. I have seen a man lead another man to Christ, and he was dying. He held on to his hand, and his eyes were closed, and he asked him, will you trust Jesus right now so that one day we can be together in heaven? That was the only question he asked him. He had witnessed to this guy so many times. He was his friend. And on his own deathbed is when he led him to Christ. And he held him so tightly that this guy really felt, this is the only hope that I have. And he accepted Christ. And few minutes later, this guy died. This is a testimony. There is nothing that God cannot do through you, my friend. I know you may have desire to do so much, but just remember that this God is faithful. And in his faithfulness, he will use you the way he wants to use you. All you need is to be available for him, is to trust him, is to remind yourself of his faithfulness. And one day, that pain will be a thing of the past. One day, that difficulty will be a thing of the past. God allows us to go through the wilderness because it is in the wilderness where we undergo our sanctification. The wilderness enables us to see our weaknesses. It reveals where we are in our faith. The wilderness gives us an opportunity to rely on God because He is faithful. When life gets bitter, when you find yourself in the bitter side of faith, will you remind yourself that God is faithful? And for that one person that does not believe in Jesus, this faithful God who sent His Son to die on the cross loves you. He knows that you don't believe in Him, but He still loves you. And He's giving you an opportunity to turn to Him. To turn to Him and say, "Forgive me and save me." And He will do it. And if you need help on that, feel free to come and see me, and I will help you. For those of you that are maybe going through various kinds of difficulties in life and you have a lot of questions, be encouraged. God is faithful, and in His faithfulness, He can still accomplish what He wants to accomplish through you. Father, I thank You for this moment. I thank You for Your people. I thank You for Your faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that You may continue to minister to us, to transform us to the image of Your Son, to help us gain a right perspective of life so that we can influence others, so that we can be the light that shines in this world. And Father, I pray on behalf of Your people and the difficulties that they go through. I pray that Your hand may be upon them, that Father, You may show Yourself strong on their behalf. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know our weaknesses. You know our struggles. You understand our thoughts. May You reach us, Lord, at the point of our need. And may You help us to trust in Your faithfulness. I thank You for who You are and for the power of Your word. In Jesus' name, may everyone say, Amen.